last 2 weeks I liked what I played. Anyway, the date is March 2nd, 2011. And I want to tell you something. I don't want anybody calling me an ingrate, but I'm going to criticize someone who gives me an FF every single Friday. She's a career coach, and last Friday she posted a note that said, you should have an elevator speech that even your mother can understand, even your mother. And that irked me, because what does that mean? That your mother's an idiot? There's still people among us whose parents, they come from the old country, and they can't read. That's especially true of the women. Those old countries are prejudiced against women, and even if the husband knows how to read, the grandmother doesn't. I've seen it, but there's not many people like that anymore. And to suggest that all mothers are uneducated and ignorant is just plain prejudice. And I'm going to tell you, I think you know, I'm not one of those people who believes that mom knows best. I read an article in the Atlantic magazine just the other day by a guy named Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi Coates, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I'm going to quote him. He says, it strikes me that old people may well produce a disproportionate share of a society's wisdom. I've always found, he says, elders to be invaluable resources. Interviewing Michelle Obama was awesome. He's crazy. Michelle Obama was born in 1964. Does that make her an elder? Who uses that term anyway, elders? I've never found that real elders are particularly wise. That's my point. I don't agree with this guy. They have information that you don't have because you weren't living 50 years ago, but they're just as stupid as young people. And in fact, they're often worse, stupider. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not here to denigrate old people. That's not why I'm talking about this. I'm only pointing out that I'm not prejudiced in their favor, which makes it even more legitimate when I tell you that anyone who says even your mom will understand, that's bad. That's bigotry. Half the regulars on this show are mothers, and I'm not saying they're all geniuses. No way. But you know what? They understand what an elevator speech is, and you don't have to talk down to them more than you have to talk down to anybody else. Anyway, we got a guest today who's not a mother. His name is Ty Abernethy, and I met him on Quora before they suspended my account for not being human. Talk about prejudice. They don't like animals on Quora, but we like them here on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Ended in a gurgle. Anyway, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
It takes all I've got.
Ty Abernethy, are you there?
Hello, animal.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm okay, but, you know, like, we've had some problems lately with people coming on and them being upset after the show. So I want you to say, you know, if something's going wrong, say, I'm not happy. And I'll know right away that something's wrong and, you know, just say, animal, I'm not happy. And is that all right?
Yes, yeah, so that's our safe word.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
If it gets a little too crazy, I just say not Ty's happy.
Ty's not happy, animal. Ty's not happy. Help me. And I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll protect you from the girls on the show. Okay. Now, my first question is about your name. Ty, what's that short for? Like Tyson Foods? Is Foods your middle name?
Ty Cephas, actually.
Ty Cephas. You know, am I going to get in trouble if I ask about that? You know,
I'm just
a religious
kidding.
Name or something?
No, no, no. It's Tyler.
Tyler. Okay. And what's your middle name?
Roy.
Tyler Roy. And your last name is Abernethy. Now, Abernathy with an A is the more common way. They're obviously the same name. Why do you guys spell it an odd way? Everybody must get it wrong.
That's a great question. I get that all the time.
Yeah,
there,
I know.
There's an old story. It's actually pronounced Abernathy. And there's a story about, and I'll keep it short, but two Abernathy brothers come over to the United States from Scotland. One of them keeps the original spelling, which is in E-T-H-Y. The other one changed it so it phonetically sounds more like it's pronounced. So the story goes, so we're Abernethy, but it's actually pronounced Abernathy.
That's a
sounds
story?
Like an
I don't call that a story. Yeah, I don't call that a story. Okay. Great. I let the guest, those Ellis Island stories, they're better than that. Okay, so you picked your own song, and I did upload a file to back us up, but I got to tell you something. The file's not that good. Anybody familiar here with Arcade Fire? Any yeses?
They just won a Grammy, people. Best album
I never heard of them either before you told me, but
anyway,
I've got I got a file of them singing with David Bowie. And it didn't come along that well, but you and me are going to sing it. I think
right.
It's easy for any idiot to follow. It's just groaning, okay? So we got 11 people here, and including 12 with me, so we should get half of them going with us, okay? You ready?
Awesome.
We'll sing anything.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, go!
Right now for the pick of that song.
Okay, now this guy, we're going to get right down to business. Did anybody look at his site before the show and look for the anomaly that I was pointing out? No.
I like
okay, there's a, secret on your site, Ty, that I know you're not familiar with. I don't think I should tell you at the beginning because, you know, people might hear it that way. I'll tell you towards the end. But anyone can go over to ZuzuHire.com. You can click there right through RecruitingAnimalShow.com. If you click on ZuzuHire, you'll go there. And he's got a great little demo. I was very impressed by that demo. It's so easy to understand. I don't think I've ever seen anything so easy. Now, Zuzu is ZuzuHire.com. In American, it's ZuzuHire.com. And it's a multimedia interviewing tool that makes it easy to screen job candidates online. Now, this guy, he invented it himself. I'll let him tell the story about how it came about, but that's what we're going to talk about. Do you want to introduce and tell? He's also a recruiter. We'll get into that after. First, he wants to talk about Zuzu Hire. He's here to promote it, but he knows that this is a tough crowd, and if somebody doesn't like it, they're going to tell them. So where should we start? You want to tell us how Zuzu Hire came to be?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you talk louder? Can you talk louder?
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'll start you off. I grew up in the recruiting industry. I've been doing recruiting, since I graduated.
I work for my dad, says it all. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So grew up in the recruiting space. Have been recruiting and last year was looking for a tool that could streamline some of the streaming process. So got in a debate with my dad about, you know, whether or not a tool could come along that could really simplify a lot of the screening process. He was saying, heck no. I was saying, yes. And so Zuzu Hire is kind of what came from that. So basically,
this is a generational battle within the recruiting industry, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Your dad founded this company, Chase. What's it called? Chase Staffing?
Yeah, Chase Professionals, yes.
Chase Professionals, he founded it in 1979. That's a long time ago, right? And
yeah.
You've been in how long? How long have you been working for him in full-time?
Full-time, it's been 5 years now.
5 years, 40 years or 30 years versus 5 years, and it's
yeah.
a generational quarrel. You say, Dad, a lot of what we do can be replaced by a service online. And he says, no way. And what did you do? You said, I'm going to prove it to you, and I'm going to rub your face in it. Is that right?
Basically, I couldn't let it go, so I just kept thinking over it, and yeah, eventually ended up coming up with the idea for Zuzu Hire, and that's how it started.
Okay, now look, there's somebody who just told Dave Manister, who's the kingfish of ERE, he told him that he listens to this show and never learns one thing. It must have been Jerry that he was speaking to, the announcer, but you got to promise that my people are going to have a takeaway today, okay? It's killing me. That's why I'm not making any money, okay? You still there, Ty?
I'm still there, yeah.
Okay, so what did you do? What was your first step to prove your dad wrong? We understand how this is. It was a filial kind of thing. Or not filial, whatever.
Familial.
Whatever you call it. Familial. No, I meant something different, Janice. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. What was your first step to prove your dad wrong? To show you eatable. Okay, that's better.
The first thing I did is I went out and researched to see if there was any product out there that was doing kind of what I was thinking.
Yep.
And so video interviewing was originally kind of what I had was a piece of what I was thinking. And so I looked out to a couple different couple of the larger players in the video interviewing space. After demoing the products, trying them, I felt that they weren't geared towards screening. They were more geared toward interviewing. And what I wanted was a screening tool. So yeah, over the past about 8 months now, I've just been kind of working full-time as a recruiter and then sort of moonlighting, developing Zuzu Hire, which incorporates video interviewing but also does various other components as well.
Okay, want to tell us or do I have to tell?
I'd love it. I can talk about it all day.
Okay, well, just talk a little faster and we'll get, people won't fall asleep by the time you tell them.
All right. So Zuzu Hire, what it does, it's a screening tool. You type out your interview questions, and then you just select which response format you want candidates to respond.
Let me explain, okay? I'll explain and you comment, okay? It's going to go faster that way. I don't know if anybody watched the videos. They're great, okay? I never say that, but they're so easy to understand. Who has ever fooling around with your phone and making noise? Don't do it! Okay, so anyway, you go to this tool, and there's a little field. You write in your interview question, and then you pick between four different modes of answering. If you click on video, then the candidate gets to film a little video for 3 minutes answering the question. If you click on multiple choice, then it's a question like, are you detail oriented or are you a big picture person and you have to pick one? You can ask for a written, like essay like answer, and you can click on that. And the other one is just an audio. So you've got video, audio, written, or multiple choice. And I have to tell you just write your question in and then click on the icon, boom, then you go to the next question, right? Am I right? Yes or no?
Did
I explain it well?
Exactly right.
Okay.
Perfect, yes.
You don't have to schedule it or anything. You send the guy a link in email. Is that right? Yes or no?
That is correct.
Yeah, or you could have it embedded in the job description. If you put an ad on your career site or on Career Builder or Monster, you could have a link to this screening tool right there. Am I right?
And you can brand the experience so candidates don't even know they're on a site called Zuzu Hire. It looks like it's a career page.
Who do you want to sell it to? Obviously, because of the branding, you do want to sell it to people.
Well, I built it for myself as a recruiter, and it has certain applications, but anyone that's hiring could and screens lots of people can use it.
Okay, hey, Chase Staffing is a client of our good friend Greg Durgarian at TempWorks. Is that true?
Yeah, Greg's a good guy, yeah.
He is a good guy, okay. Okay, so, but you will rent this out to people, right?
That's correct, yes.
How much?
$20 for a interview, to create an interview, you get unlimited responses. So you're not paid based on – you're not charged based on how many applicants respond. It's just a one-off, and you get unlimited responses.
Okay, now these
can,
questions, if the person answers a bunch of multiple-choice questions, is it screened out manually by the recruiter, or does the applicant tracking system or whatever you're using, does that screen it out automatically and filter out people who aren't suitable? If you say, do you have manufacturing experience, and they say no, is it automatically cut them, or do you have to do that yourself?
You kind of a combination of that. For the correct multiple-choice questions, the more correct you get, the further up the dashboard you go. So when you, as the company, log in and see the results, the candidates that have answered more of the correct multiple-choice questions will populate at the top. So you use that for, like, your deal-breaker questions. Do you got manufacturing experience? You know, are you a talk show host? Are you loud and obnoxious? You get all that knocked out of the way, and then
you know
boom.
What? If you're a job hunter, how do you game that to get near the top of the list? Do you use some kind of keywords? Do you use keywords or figure out something from the job description?
No, the idea is that candidates will just go through and fill out the multiple choice questions, answering the most applicable answer to them, and then the company can select
which questions.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about honesty here. I'm not talking about honesty.
You're saying,
you spoke up. Janice, hold on.
Yeah,
Janice,
I got
Janice Worthington. Okay, but first off, Janice, is there a way that you figured out already listening to this where a candidate could game it to come near the top of the list?
The only way is by using keywords based on what they do and what they know.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Are you talking to me?
Who's listening to that music? Turn the TV off! Okay, what's your question, Janice? Shoot.
He said, now I'm an old mother, so I'm not sure I heard this correctly, but he said something about the candidate isn't going to realize what this is, and they're going to think it's a career board. Can you explain that?
Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
What I was trying to get at is that you can brand it. So let's say you have a job posting on your career page. You can click apply, and candidates will be directed to this interview process. So it will be branded with your logo and information, so it'll appear like it's part of your site if you brand it as such.
Okay, but they still know that they're conducting an interview.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Okay, now I watched the third video on your website, and you said people can use it for free before the launch, but this launched last week, so it's not free anymore. Is that right?
No, it's free right now. This is the beta that we launched. Trying to get some feedback. We have some new things we're going to roll out in the next few weeks.
You know what? Why did you do this to me yesterday? I said, is there anybody that, you know, is it okay if I send some samples out to somebody? Some of my regular callers can try it out. And you said, well, I don't know. It's just in beta. And then I go to your site, and you're saying, everybody, come on and use it. And you told me no. What's going on?
No. What you said is, should I stick the hounds on it to go in and really try it out, or would you like for us to talk about it and the functionality?
Oh,
and I said,
geez.
And I said,
oh, yeah.
And I said,
look at, you know what? Why do people lie to me all the time? You know,
animal,
I talked last week about it.
Hey, what did I miss? I did.
Yeah, it's probably you making all that noise. We haven't got to your. I'm waiting, Jerry. He's going to have to deal with the verbal summary issue in a few minutes. Okay, just hold on.
What do you mean deal with?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
He and I obviously see eye to eye on a ton of this stuff.
Well, why do you say that, Jerry?
Yeah.
Now, Jerry, just so people who don't know, Jerry is the inventor, creator, genius behind verbalsummary.com. You get the three most important questions from your hiring manager. You record those, not the whole interview, just those questions with the candidate. Excuse me, I'm eating while I'm talking. And with the candidate, and then you send that MP3. It's only, you know, maybe 3 or 5 minutes long.
No, you don't
send
that MP3. You send
the
entire profile. It's the resume with simply a play button on the top of it. You're not sending an MP3.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You don't even understand the product.
I'm sorry.
I do not want to advertise on this show anymore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, the thing is, Jim Tate was on the show a few weeks ago. I think it was Jim. I think it was Jim Tate. And he said, what do you think about that? And he said, you know what? When you just, the person answers the question, there's no follow-ups. And Jerry said, hold on a second, Jimmy, career foo. He said, I'm going to be there asking the follow-up questions. You got the professional recruiter asking the follow-up questions. On Zuzu Hire, the person can give an audio answer, but there's nobody asking him questions. What do you think about that?
Me or Ty?
Who we talking
Ty.
I love it.
Ty,
I think it's brilliant.
Okay, yeah, brilliant. You made it. What about Ty? What does he think?
Yeah, okay. First of all, Jerry, I was just checking out a verbal summary a little bit earlier today. I really like it. I think we're tackling kind of some of the same pains in the recruiting space.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I mean, I love what you're doing.
But Animal, I'm confused. What were you asking me as far as just the communication?
He gets to do follow-up questions. You say, tell me what about your last big plant engineering project, or what was the toughest thing? The guy answers for 3 minutes, but, you know, he just, you know, doesn't say anything concrete. No, that never happens. Yes, it does. And you need the recruiter to dig a little, to guide the person, even if they're not trying to lie, to guide them to the good answers, like I had to guide you yesterday on the pre-show interview, okay? So you got to have the recruiter there.
Yeah.
I was asking you about something you could wake up in the middle of the night and start talking about, but you couldn't give me the kind of concise answer I wanted. So somebody who's not even a recruiter, would they be able to do it any better than you? I don't think so. But Jerry, he says, look, I'm there to guide the guy. And that's not on Zuzu Hire.
No. And I love that feature. And to be honest with you, I about halfway through this process of creating Zuzu Hire, I realized that a back-and-forth dialogue would be important. So we're actually – that is phase two for Zuzu Hire is more of a back-and-forth.
Stealing Jerry's idea?
I encourage everyone to steal my idea, Animal.
Hey.
Okay.
It's a great idea. I think that's important. I think it's the way of the future. I mean, Twitter is just a back-and-forth communication. I think that companies should be back and forth more with their candidates. So that's what I think that's definitely the way of the future.
Okay, now here's we didn't finish the pricing, but you can $20 bucks for one. What's the next step up?
Yeah, you can go one up and do bundles of five, bundles of ten.
What's a bundle of five? How much is a bundle of five?
Bundle five is $80 for five, and you can pay $145 and get 10 at once. You can pay $200 bucks a month, and you have infinite access to the site.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm impressed by this young guy. I have to say, and I think we had – I'm going to mention a competitor. We had HireVue on 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mark Newman. Nice guy. But still, in those days, he had to send out quite often these webcams to the people to do – and I was asking them all kinds of questions. What if they don't have cameras? Now the cameras are built right into the laptops. These video interviews, their time has come, I think, because it's so easy now. However, our friend Jerry always says video interviews are no good because the people are sloppy looking, etc. And you yourself told me, I think you did, that HR people are wary of video. Is that true, Ty?
Yeah,
is your name Tyson? What's your name? Tyson? I can't remember.
Tyler.
Tyler. I like Tyson better. You're Tyson now, okay?
You can call me whatever, sure. Okay. So I agree with you. Yes, I think that video is still scary for a lot of people. It's
why?
Even because I think that, first of all, when it's still the technology curve. Not everyone has a webcam. So you run the risk that when you send out, you know, a video interview, that the candidate's not going to have a webcam. So you mentioned HireVue. Great. Snazzy platform. They own the video interviewing space. They email out or they send out a webcam to the candidate that's applying, and they charge $150 bucks a pop per interview. So it's great for a video format for an interview. But what we're trying to do here with Zuzu Hire is just a screening tool to where you use whatever format you want. If you're not comfortable with video, just don't use it. But there will be certain positions, especially more entry-level or sales positions, certain demographics and certain types of positions where video is really powerful and the demographic is very familiar with it. So it suddenly becomes a very effective screening tool as a recruiter. But I would never video interview an executive for a position or certain roles. I don't think it's tasteful, and I don't think it's
I do. Why not? The executive should be able to communicate much better than
right.
from, you know, someone without experience. Don't you think?
Okay.
Although, you know, we see these executives on TV, just because they're smart business people doesn't mean that they communicate very well. So
maybe I'll just say there's a little bit more finesse involved with a C-level executive or high-level executive position, to where just emailing a video.
Yeah, you know, you have to pretend they're like royalty or something. But
yeah,
listen, let me step aside. You know, I want to tell you something, Tyler. In big job hunting, it's not that much different from big game hunting. If you're not experienced, you might need a guide. And if you hire Janice Worthington of Columbus, Ohio, she'll take you on a safari you're never going to forget. She works with her son, and they shoot to kill. You can sample her for free at worthingtoncareers.com. Click on career board. Mm-hmm. In the left-hand margin, she's got a bunch of free podcasts there, and I recommend them. Okay?
I see what you did. That was an ad you slid in. I was.
Yes, and I've got another one in.
Tyler,
you're a recruiter.
That's powerful.
You're a recruiter, Tyler. You're a recruiter.
Yeah.
And if you need some help with sourcing, why not call Maureen Sherrup at namesourcer.com? She's the tiger mom of telephone sourcing, and she'll eat your search alive.
No,
she's on the front page of ERE today.
No, I am sure.
Namesourcer.com.
Hey, Animal.
Go ahead.
Animal,
yes,
it's me. I have a dilemma.
What's that? You want to go? Go ahead.
Well,
let us help you.
Yeah, I've got an opportunity to make more than $2 so I can pay for that lame ad that you did for me.
Talking about your product for 10 minutes, that's
you don't even
lame.
Know what it does. You think it's emailing an MP3 to somebody.
Oy vey. Go ahead. We
delete
don't
that
you
from
anymore.
The official audio record.
You shouted already. Okay, does anybody else take
that's
Jerry?
That's okay, Jerry. I'll take over for you.
Who's
hi,
doing the after show?
Is that Carl?
Okay. Yeah, it's Carl.
Hey,
Carl.
Man,
yeah. Hey, Carl. Carl, will you do the after
yes,
show
sir.
For me? Will you do the after show?
I'll try.
He doesn't know how
I'll
to
try.
Do the after
oh,
show.
Oh, man.
He's never done it. No, it's not going to work.
Rayanne can.
I can do it, yes.
Okay,
that's
Carl.
Okay, sorry, guys. I got to go.
Attend.
Love you all. Hey, Ty,
Carl,
I'll give you a call sometime and just catch up.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Yeah. Listen, right. Jerry, this
all
isn't your coffee club, okay? Get out. Now, Carl.
What's going on right now?
Carl Chapman.
Yes, sir.
You
yes,
have been in this business yourself. I don't know if you still are. Do you have any good, tough questions for Tyson here?
Oh, man.
No, just say no, and I'll let you off the hook.
No. I don't have any good, tough questions. I just, you know, what kind of response are you getting so far? Because, wow, it was a rough, tough tumble for us.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of good feedback. We're in beta right now, so it's just free. So we just have people in there trying it out and sending us, you know, information when they hit some bugs or have any issues. So yeah, a lot of good feedback. It's still, you know, you don't know until you actually launch the paid version exactly what's going to happen. But all the feedback I've gotten thus far has been very very strong, and we've gotten a lot
of no revenue generation yet.
Do what?
No revenue generation yet.
That's correct.
Any sales effort yet?
Well,
it doesn't matter. Any sales? Hey, you said tough questions. Any sales information? Any sales effort yet?
Not a ton at this point.
Okay. So
how long has the site been up?
Site's been up a week.
Well, okay, give them time. How are you marketing it? How are you getting the word
hey,
out?
Hey, hello, Janice. Wait a second. Is Greg Dergarian on the line?
Hey, the link isn't working on your site to his site. So
it isn't? Hold on, let me check it. I don't know, something's maybe wrong with you, dear. Did you click where it says Zuzu Hire at the very top above his picture?
I clicked where it says company.
Just go
there.
Zuzu
yeah,
the top
try above
one.
His
the
picture.
The top one works. Got it.
Yeah, the other one doesn't. You're right. I'm sorry. Thank you, Rayanne. If someone wants to see it, click the big Zuzu Hire at the top, not where it says company. Okay? Now is Greg Dergarian here?
Hey, Animal. No. Yeah, Greg's here in Minneapolis.
Hey, ask him your own question. What are you telling me on Twitter to ask him a question for? I probably would. I'm just lucky I saw it. Go ahead. Talk to him.
Okay. Well, yeah, my question for you, Ty, is let's just say, as can happen, your startup turns into a big
no,
hit.
No, no, you had a question about the platform. Was that important?
Yeah, I'm asking
an
animal to chill.
Okay,
gee, and you get some hockey stick growth. So suddenly you got, you know, 100 people trying to post their videos online at one time. How are you going to handle that? What platform are you adopting, and what are you going to do about that?
Great question. We have a the way it's built, it's easily expandable. So we have it to where we'd be able to support heavy traffic if it were to come. But you know, I'm more worried right now about just kind of, you know, getting the word out about it. I think with you know, this space right now is just kind of recruiting tools in general. It's kind of a it's an exciting time to be in the space, but it's also an easy time to be overlooked in the space too, because there's a lot going on, a lot of changes, a lot of people from the outside jumping in and throwing a lot of money around, and you know, these sites are popping up overnight. It's just kind of uncertain about what's going to stick and what's not. And so I think our concern initially is just to let's get the word out, make sure we have a good product, tweak it to where it's
Hey, you said it a few times already. You don't have to drag up the answer.
Is it Tyson or Tyler? I've heard two different.
It's Tyler. Ty.
It's Ty Cephas.
Okay, Ty. Hey, Ty, I got a question just regarding the video part.
Yeah.
Green Job Interview, are you familiar with them?
Yeah, great platform.
Okay, so they're really into the live interview streaming. They don't video anything or film anything.
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all with having any videos on film, and the risk factor there is there for lawsuit later on?
No. Well, the way that we kind of are set up, first of all, Green Job Interview, they're streaming, and we're strictly recorded video. So they're a solid product for streaming. I love those guys. I demoed their product and really like it. For ours, basically we're just kind of the middleman. So the candidate, when they complete the interview, they check to, you know, that they agree to the terms and conditions, which basically state that, you know, it's the company that will be receiving this, and they can do as they see fit with that information. And then on the company side, we let them know that you can't share this information with outside parties unless you have the consent of the candidate, basically.
And no fear of discrimination issues.
No, because I forget the exact legal jargon that goes behind it, but basically, I think EEOC compliance states that, you know, basically in a nutshell, if you're going to discriminate, you're just as likely to do it in person as in video, and the video medium is not shouldn't be excluded from hiring practices because of the threat of discrimination.
Oh, well, recruiters discriminate every day. That's part of our job, but I just. But I think it's interesting.
Yeah, that was Ray Ann, by the way. I'm guilty. Just say it. I'm guilty. Come and get me. That's a silly thing to say, dear. People don't
Are
know you what
kidding
you mean.
Me? That's the job. Animal, come on. That's the job of recruiters, is to be discriminated.
Yeah, but when
your
you say
job.
You're prejudiced and we're prejudiced, we're not prejudiced like people
prejudiced.
Want to take that
I
to mean. I'm not prejudiced. Didn't you hear my introduction? I was defending people like you. I was
I
defending people
prejudiced.
Like you.
I didn't say prejudiced. I said discriminating. There's a big difference.
But okay. I think discriminating is kind of a charged word. I think more it's about, I mean, you have to rule out candidates based on, you know, years of experience, based on experience.
Right.
Yeah, okay, we know that. Now let me talk,
okay?
Okay. I just want you to know you've been talking to Ray Ann Thorne, the Dear Abby of the Recruitosphere. If you feel down or need a good cry, she publishes every day at bonustrack.us.
Bonustrack.us.
And let me go
it's
on for a second.
Track.
That's like the drill sergeant being the shrink on TV.
What I said, if you need an ace up your sleeve, call Mike Astringer at humancapitalconsultants.com. If you need an ace in the hole, call Mike Astringer at humancapitalconsultants.com. Mike places recruiters and the enemies of recruiters, the people of HR. Mike Astringer for an ace in the hole at humancapitalconsultants.com. Okay, have we talked this Zuzu hire out? Should we move on to just recruiting? Is there anything else you'd like to say about it, Tyson?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, please jump in, try it out. It's free right now.
Understand why you can knock video and promote video at the same time.
Well, I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's not always the best solution. I think that video can be a very powerful medium for the right question and for the right position. But if I'm going through, so using Zuzu Hire, I'm creating an interview questionnaire. Depending on who it's going to, if it's going to a PR professional, I'm going to be more concerned with, you know, a written evaluation. So I'm going to ask more questions geared, requesting a written answer. If it's a sales position, then video is going to be more powerful. I'm going to ask more video-based questions. So it just depends on the position. I'm just saying it's not great. It's not the right medium for every position and for every question you ask.
Oh, I disagree. I think the more you can sell to an employer, unless you've got somebody really bad looking, you know, job search ugly. No, there's such a thing as job search ugly. Okay, they look like your ex-wife, or you know. I think the more revealing you can be, the more points you can score on somebody's candidacy to advance it, the better. And if video is another way to do it, why wouldn't you?
My opinion is that's questionable. Wait. Anybody else got questions about Zuzu Hire, who hasn't spoken yet, especially for Ty Abernathy? Anybody else who hasn't spoken and wants to ask him a question or make a comment, no matter how tough? Just give him 5 seconds. 5, 4.
Well, I don't think Greg got the answer to his question, and I'm certainly interested in it. And he asked
maybe
a specific
he just
question
say exactly
about the
what
platform.
Maybe he doesn't want to say it's a trade secret. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you want to answer that question?
It's not a trade secret.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
What platform are you using? What's powering your stuff?
As far as the video piece of it, what specifically are you?
Yeah.
He doesn't want.
I mean,
is it going to be overwhelmed?
Do you want me to like jump
is
into
robust?
That?
Is it robust? That's if you want to talk. And if you got a good quick answer, go
ahead.
Yeah.
What are you using to store and serve up video, and how's that gonna scale?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really interested in that.
Flash. We're using a Flash for our video component.
Right.
We have a Flash database, and it's all stored through that. Very scalable based on growth. We found it to be the best solution for video quality and for being able to scale if things did grow.
Okay, so you're not the tech guy. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And beyond that, yes, that I'm not the tech guy. So you'll have to forgive me.
You don't need forgiving. You don't need forgiving.
Okay.
You're probably using Adobe FMS and you have a server somewhere. You're using some content distribution network. So that's fine.
But you're the big cheese, right, Ty?
That's correct. The big cheese. Yeah.
Okay. No, the real big cheese is his dad. Is dad on the phone? Is dad on the line right now? We just want to salute you. Got a pretty nice son. Are you there?
No, he's not. He's not.
Oh, that would be cool.
Okay. Okay, now I'll tell you my little – I'll close off the Zuzu Hire part with my little secret. If you go to ZuzuHire.com –
Yeah, I'm really curious about this. I saw your tweet earlier.
He's got three videos. He's got three videos. The first video, if you watch it all the way through, it's on YouTube, and it's set up to give you choices of other videos you might like to see. All the other videos are Showgirl. I don't know if you've seen that movie. I enjoyed it. But the first thing you see is Gina Gershon telling Elizabeth Berkley something kind of kinky, okay? So, and then you can watch all these other pictures of lap dancing, you know, quasi lap dancing. It's a good dance scene, and he doesn't have it on the others. On the others, he's got them on a different account. But just for the people who watch all the way through, there's a little bonus at the end for the first video.
We
figure
hiring can be kind of boring, and you got to spice it up sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that was
good.
No, I noticed that. I don't know why that's populating, but you know, have at it.
Yeah, I know why. You set it up like that, and you didn't put it on the same account as the other two videos, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So, anyway, so okay. So now we're gonna go ahead.
Are we done with Zuzu Hire? This kind of
related. We're gonna talk
Zuzu
about
Hire.
His recruiting career. We're gonna talk about his recruiting career.
I just wondered, you're still at Chase, right?
I am. Yes.
How is there any conflict of interest or any problem with having
his dad owns a company? You weren't here. He works for his dad.
Yeah, working for your dad, it does offer that a little bit of flexibility. So,
okay.
So yeah, we keep busy over here because it's
okay.
we're doing both at the same time.
Ryan, you can write about this.
Hey,
this
animal,
is an eatable
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
he
you.
Had a fight with his dad. He said, Dad, I can replace some recruiting functions with software. And his dad said, No, you can't. And he said, Yes, I can, and I'm going
to
prove it and rub your face
thank
in
you,
it.
Animal.
And that's what he's doing.
I'm
that's
up
what he's
to
doing
now.
Right now.
Thank you.
Did you
thank
really
you.
Say
okay.
that to your dad?
Come on.
Yes,
just
word
move
for
on.
Word.
Yes, now, that's irrelevant.
That was an exact quote.
Put it.
He was actually reading.
People are interested.
Okay. Anyway, so your dad, we're going to start talking about recruiting. Your dad started. Is your dad an accountant?
No, not at all.
What's his profession? What's his background? Can you tell us the secret?
No. I mean, he is nothing more than staffing. I mean, when he graduated college, he worked for the University of Pittsburgh Career Center for about 6 months before he was going to go to Emory Law School and decided he could do a better job of the staffing process than they did. Ended up moving to Atlanta and then started Chase Staffing instead of going to law school.
In 1979, right?
79, yeah.
And how many branches do you have now?
We were up to about 42 or so. I think we've scaled back through the recession. We have about 25, 26 right now.
Okay, so when your dad started out, he was temp staff, right? Clerical type people, is that right? Admin people?
No, he actually did executive search starting out, and then he had an executive search firm. Had some issues with a partner. I'll spare you the details, but he ended up going out on his own again, and it's the second effort was more of a full-scale temp service.
Okay, but the main, when you came in 5 years ago, the main mm-hmm. thrust of the company was admin, clerical-type people on temp. He had started
correct.
Moving into perm, to permanent, executive search again, and that's what attracted you to the firm, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, you grew up, I'm going to just speed ahead a little. You grew up during your teenage years doing odd jobs for your father's company, like mowing the grass or painting the sign. I don't know what it was. But then you said to yourself, I'm never going into recruiting. But lo and behold, once you got your marketing degree and your dad was starting this new venture, this permanent hire, you felt that suited your personality better than temp. So you said, hey, why not? You want to tell us why it suited your personality better than temp recruiting?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the temp business. So, working summers doing sales or recruiting on a desk if I was needed, just, random stuff like that. And it just didn't...
So a teenager could be a recruiter. Is that right, based on what you just told us?
I mean, anyone can be a recruiter. It's not, it's just knowing what to say and how to say it.
What's the starting age? 12?
I'm sure there's some kind of legal... I'm sure there's some type of labor law issue.
Psychologically and communication-wise, 12 years old to make the matches, how old do you have to be?
Two.
I mean, to be taken serious, I think 15, 16 was when I was, comfortable enough on the phone. And yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, so grew up in the temp space and just said, part of it just, working in the family business, I just said, I vow never to go in the family business. I vow to not do recruiting, to do staffing. Mm-hmm. And then, lo and behold, right as I graduate college, my dad opens up a finance and accounting recruiting division. And so I was applying to advertising agencies, and I was like, I'll just start working here until I get a real job. And I just loved it. I don't know. I mean, there's something different about the perm space than the temp space. Not that either's bad. It's just certain people gravitate toward one or the other. So I just love the consultative nature of perm recruiting. Being able to
What does that mean then? The consultative nature. That's going to be the difference between temp and perm. Obviously, go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, for me, I love being able to get to know the ins, the outs, the quirks of my clients, of the managers, of the team, what type of person was going to work. So it's beyond just matching skills on a resume, and it goes into...
Just so everyone knows, I mean, that sounds good, but we know it doesn't make any sense because temp people, these people who place temp people, they work with the same clients on an ongoing basis, even more so than permanent recruiters. I'm sorry that Jerry isn't here because he places contract people. Okay?
No, you're right.
So are you saying... Are you saying that people who place people on a temporary basis, they don't understand their clients in the same way that you, Tyson, do?
First of all, I'm not saying I do anything better than anybody else. But second of all,
you're in a corner now. You're in a corner. Okay.
No. Let me retract that last statement. I'll say this: that for me, why I like the perm space better is because when it's more about networking. It's more about the searches take longer. There's a little bit more finesse to them. It's more about being networked.
Can I say what you told me yesterday? You said you don't just scribble down the deal breaker criteria on the phone, but you find out what the dress code is and how rigid their schedule is and how rigid their corporate structure is. Is the company growing or shrinking? Because there's more of a long the person, the candidate's going to be there long term, so you have to find out more about the company. That's the difference. And so I asked you, since you're not doing a good job of answering the question, I'm going to answer for you, okay? So then I asked you, how do you find out all this information? And you gave me an interesting answer. Should I let you answer, or should I handle it?
Well, I forget what answer this was, so why don't you start me off, and then I'll just, jump in. I forget what you're getting at here.
You said the way that these hiring managers deal with you tells you the way they're going to deal with reflects the culture
Absolutely.
Of the company.
Yeah, so obviously a big part of recruiting is sales and developing a relationship early on. So, at least I found that typically the way a recruiter or the way a manager deals with me says something about how they're going to deal with their team and their staff and what their management style is.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Just the way that it's I think that if they're good about giving you feedback, I think a good manager makes me do my job so much better as a recruiter, and I think that applies too for a staff member that I place out for that manager.
Okay, so you said on the one hand, there's guys who give you a lot of answers to your questions and help you do a good job for them. On the other, you've got hiring managers who want, and I'm quoting you, want nothing to do with me till they absolutely need me, right? There's hiring managers like that. Yes or no?
Yeah, it goes down to.
And how would you sell that to a candidate? How would you sell that to a candidate differently than if you were dealing with the manager who was very helpful?
It's tough. It takes more legwork to get to know a company better that views you that views their approach to recruiting more of the shotgun approach, so they're working with 8 recruiters versus you and another. It's harder to get more information.
Yeah, you didn't give the answer because we're running out of time. I'm going to tell you what you missed,
okay.
And I'm not going to supply the answer because I don't know it. If you're dealing with a hiring manager who's abrupt and curt and doesn't want to talk to you when you want to talk to him, but only when he wants to talk to you, how do you go to a candidate and say, well, he said, what's the company like? And you say, well, the guy's a prick. Guy I'm dealing with, I can't stand him. Are you going to say that, or are you going to say something like, well, it's a very independent culture. You have to do a lot on your own. Is that how you would handle it?
Well, if you're a real estate agent and you got a crappy house you're trying to sell, you're not going to say it's a crappy house. You're going to say it's a fixer-upper. There's a lot of room to spruce it up. It's a little spruce-upper. I mean, it's just part of we're in sales, and it's part of just not misleading people, but giving them the positive. There's a positive in any company, and it's just pointing out that positive.
There are hiring managers that are out of character when they're hiring. And when they're giving you job orders, they may be sweetie pies on the job, but because maybe they don't want to use a recruiter, they've had a hard time, or they're just playing hard on someone to get the right person, they're going to be different with you and maybe with the candidate in the interviewing process. But once you get to work, they'll be great. I don't think you can judge that.
Do you find that out, Janice?
By talking to other people who work there.
Okay, now actually I have to tell you, Tyson told me that when they interview people, they do make notes about the company they're coming from, so they can refer to them. So there's people actually coming into his office, candidates, who've worked with a lot of the companies in Atlanta, since that's his limited geographical area. And so he might have some information about how the company works on the inside, aside from how it deals with him. Now, I want to move on. How do you market your services?
Obviously.
Hey, you know what? Somebody is listening. again, they're on the phone here, listening to us on the phone, and they've also got the show going through the speakers for some ridiculous reason, so I can hear an echo because there's a little delay. Turn off your speaker! Come on! Did you hear me? Okay. So how do you market your services?
Well, recruiting is a sales job. So we got, we're all running full desk. We all do sales. Most of my sales approach revolves around skill marketing candidates. Basically, interviewing when I find a strong candidate, I take them out to market, anyone in that space, in that industry that I think would be interested in that person, I network with.
What do you do? You call somebody up, right? Who do you usually call? I asked you already.
Yeah, I mean, I start at the top and work my way down. So I do recruiting for finance and accounting, so I start up CFO, and then I kind of work my way down.
Okay, so even if you had a junior person, you would try to hit the CFO first?
Well, no, if I had a junior person, I would probably start at the controller and then work down from there. There's no point to waste the CFO's time on something like that.
Okay, now you told me something interesting. I'm moving quickly ahead because we don't have much time. You don't leave voicemail.
No, I don't typically leave voicemail. I just... You know, it's. I think that there's something about sales that you hear voicemails. No one wants to hear it. And even if it's something that I'm offering something they need, the likelihood of them returning my call, if it's a strictly cold call, is very small. So I just, periodically try them throughout the day. I'll call them early in the morning before
business starts. What time early?
Seven thirty. When especially if it's a C-level executive, because they're likely in the office. And they're not,
How do they feel when they get, the guy comes in to do some work and who's on the phone, Tyson? What, is he happy to hear from you or what?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. When are we ever pleased to get a cold call? And when is anyone ever happy to make a cold call? But when you're offering something that is a value add, the conversation quickly shifts and it is an interesting.
Hey, idiot, not you. Don't you know you've got the phone right near whatever you're doing on your desk and you're screwing up my show? Sorry, go ahead, please.
No, it's. I think that if you are offering a value add, if you're doing your job right, and you're calling about a candidate that actually, has the industry experience, software experience, you think they actually would be a good fit for that company, genuinely.
Okay, you gave me an example of your cold call. I'd like to hear that. Your cold marketing call. Can you remember what you told me?
Yeah. Hey, Animal, Ty Abernathy here. I do recruiting here in Atlanta. Got a candidate I really would love to talk to you about. Gentleman's got 5 years experience. Big Four on the audit side. So he's been, some of his clients included manufacturing firms that actually work in your space. So after he left Big Four, he's worked 2 years doing SEC reporting in that space, actually with a company that utilizes Oracle, which I know you use. Now, I'm not sure if you're hiring, but I just thought I'd give you a call. Would love a chance to talk to you more about this person if you have the time. Boom. Something like that. I usually make sure that I'm catching them at a good time first, but, something to that effect.
How do you make sure you're catching them at a good time?
Hey, Animal, this is Ty Abernathy. First of all, am I catching you at a good time this morning? Something as simple as that.
I don't know who you are. It depends. Are you from the hospital? Is my kid dying there?
God, I don't want to hear a no. I don't like your stuff.
Okay. Okay, listen, I got to do a couple more ads before we move on. Is that all right?
Hey, that's fine with me.
Okay, I don't know. It doesn't sound like Kathy Manis is here today, but I want to tell you, she's a recruiter, and she's tenacious and proud. Her Twitter handle is @CManis, number one. CManis. Don't know what she's working on this week. I thought if she was here, I would ask her, but I won't. Okay, so let's move ahead. You said you avoid HR like the plague. Even if they say they're not going to accept any calls, you call. Is that right?
Kind of true, quasi true. I did mention something.
You're backing off. I know it's 100% true. Okay.
I'll say this. I tend to start somewhere else. If I have to, if HR is where I'm directed, then I will always follow the proper protocol and go through HR. But if it's a new client, I will definitely start elsewhere because HR, they get calls like us all the time, and so it's a matter of if I can call them and say, hey, I spoke with. Bob Smith, your CFO, he suggested I talk with you. It's a little bit better conversation than if I call.
You think so? They just know that Bob was passing the buck, don't they? What happens? Do they say, hey,
I think
great,
that you at least,
Bob?
I think it at least makes sense to start there and get redirected.
Yeah, but what's the results? What's the results when you do that?
Well, if I actually pique the interest of the manager, typically I'll say, hey, when you're following up with HR, can you shoot a quick email to that HR rep and let them know I'm going to be calling? So that way, when I do call them, they are expecting my call, and they might still blow me off, but it makes for a much warmer call, and they know who I am before I call.
Okay. Now, I asked you, how many marketing calls should a recruiter make a day?
And I think there's no set answer to that. I think that if you are creatively going about ways to market yourself and your business, zero. I mean, maybe not zero, but I think that the number of calls diminish significantly based on what other things you're doing in the community. It's the whole permission marketing concept of, putting yourself out there, and people that enjoy your content will come to you. So you can, take that approach, but if you're strictly, pounding the phones, it's a lot higher.
Community. I mean, the community's not going to – I'll go with Jerry for that. The community's not going to give you any business. You mean if you've got job orders, you should market, but not that much. The focus is on serving the clients you've got. Is that right, yes or no?
Half true.
Okay,
I mean, I think
half true is good enough for me. Half true means all true. You just don't want to admit it. It's not comfortable for you for some reason. Blake Cannon, are you on the line? He's on Twitter, but he hasn't said anything here. Okay, does anybody have any questions for me?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you have anything? You would want to talk to Tyson here?
No, I love that phrase you just used, the permission marketing thing. That's. I feel a lot of the same way he does about that.
What is permission marketing? Last thing, what does that mean?
It's a term Seth Godin coined, the marketing guru. It's just inbound. I mean, you're on social media, so I'm sure, and you do a great job of it, Animal. I mean, it's all about putting content out there, and people then start following you and come to you.
Identify your content, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for interrupting him, Rianne. You're going to get to lead the after show, but you couldn't resist. The guy was halfway through a sentence, and you
I
had to zoom in, okay?
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's through blogging and through just
Yeah, but how do you
permission out?
Market a candidate? How do you permission market a candidate? That's what I want to know. Is
well,
there
you
an
don't
answer?
Permission, you don't permission market a candidate, but you put out good content that companies want to read. I mean,
they're not going to see your content. How do you get to know if they're going to see your content?
Well,
I'll tell you something else. Auditors are not on social media, are they?
Well, I'm not talking
how many
just
auditors
social
are,
media either.
What?
I'm talking,
you know what? I think
rules.
auditors are not even on LinkedIn, are they?
You'd be surprised.
No.
You know what? I enjoyed meeting you, Ty Abernathy of ZuzuHire.com. It's free now. ZuzuHire.com. ZuzuHire.com. For those in the United States, Rayanne's going to handle the after show. Thank you, Ty.
How is everybody?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Good.
Good show.
It was a good show. A lot of information. No really severe case of yelling at anybody or anybody yelling back, so that's good. It's always a good time.
Well, he brought a good product in.
Yeah, I liked it.
He did, and he was open to listening to Animal's rants, so that's always good.
Who else is here?
Who's here? I got Janice.
Blake.
Hey, Rianne, it's Greg DeGarian in Minneapolis. Hey, I thought one thing that was weak was at the end when they equated, I think, permission marketing with content marketing or inbound marketing, because they're different things. I think Seth Godin's original ideas, at least now in the current way of thinking, it equates to email bombing and all sorts of spamming activities, where inbound marketing or content marketing is more just telling your story, getting your information out there, making it for people easy to access. And so I thought he lost me at the end.
A little bit, but I interrupted too, so maybe he was going the right direction. So you can blame me for that.
And what is permission marketing again?
Well, my understanding, because I read Seth Godin every day, my understanding is that when you, as a user of social media, put content out about yourself, you have opened the door for people to, like if you put on Facebook that you're a recruiter, you've opened the door to allow marketing on your Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
So because you've made it known that you're a recruiter, people who are looking to market to recruiters can pick that demographic when they're looking to post an ad on Facebook. You have allowed, by stating who you are and what your interests are, you have allowed permission marketing to you.
That's interesting.
It contrasts with interruptive marketing like cold calling and
otherwise
interrupting people. But I'll disagree with you, Rayanne, that I mean, Seth Godin, if he wants to, can change the definition of what he originally came out with in terms of permission marketing. But I think a more accurate term is inbound marketing or content marketing for what you just described.
Okay.
Well, permission-based marketing is opting in to someone's marketing stream, giving them permission to market to you. But that's a positive act on the part of the person who's requesting information. For instance, signing up for an email list or a report or a
newsletter, right.
A newsletter or something like that. That's giving permission to be marketed.
Got it.
Okay, I agree with that, but you're using a different term than permission marketing. You're saying it's permission-based marketing, which, yeah, I agree totally with what you just said. But permission marketing itself has become synonymous with marketing that basically gets you to, for example, cough up your email address so you can get a white paper or watch a video or get a free candy bar or whatever, and therefore then they get to send you their junk into your email for the next 3 years. And that is what permission marketing, in my mind anyway, I think in a lot of people's minds, has become equated to, which is just as bad as the original interruptive marketing it was supposed to replace. But your point's well taken. Permission-based marketing is really cool. You're not interrupting people. You're making it really easy for them to get to you and your products without you having to do more work than put the original content out.
And a problem, a side effect of that is what you just stated, spam. You know, I have more spam in my inbox than I do in my mailbox at home now, and it's annoying. And so I'm very cautious about email addresses that I put out and sometimes use a fake email address just when I want to get to information.
So people are starting to do that.
It's gotten so bad. We've started here in our company of just blocking sites where those emails are coming from. And by the way, those emails in most cases are coming from people who think they're practicing permission marketing. You downloaded their white paper. You went to a conference where they were a vendor. They think that they're doing permission marketing.
That's right.
And the spam filters are even scarier because I see all kinds of things I should be receiving in my spam filter. Email's a mess, but necessary.
It is a mess, but it's not going away anytime soon.
No.
As much as everybody wants to believe that it's no longer a current mode of communication.
No, talking is no longer a current. What we're doing now.
That's
leaving,
exactly.
You know.
Okay,
can
so
I,
Greg, while we got you on
the
line. Greg, while we have you on the line, you're still here, right?
Yes.
Have you listened to the after show before?
When Jerry was running it, I used to listen to it pretty regularly, but not with
okay.
you running it. Am I breaking rules? Am I going to get kicked off here?
No. I'm just saying that this is the first time I've run it, so don't. There is no attempt on my part to take over the after show. Please, nobody let that loose. I have no desire to take over Jerry. What we do is we rate the guest though and the host, and then we come up with an average score of how they did. So on a scale of 1 to 10, or 0 to 10, 10 if you will, how would you rate our guest today, Ty?
I'd give him a 9. I thought he could have been better prepared in terms of where he's going to go, where this is going to be in 3 or 6 months if it catches on. And I think ultimately if he wants to get the partnerships going to make this thing really fly, he's going to be able to have to hold those kind of discussions. On the other hand, extremely fluid in his delivery, and you know, somebody I walk away from saying, "Hey, I'd like to use him as a recruiter too."
Sure. And the host today?
I thought Animal was straight on. He was funny. He wasn't mean. He needs to fix his technology, but so I'll give him a 9.5.
We only
those
do
high scores.
Sports, so you either 9 or 10 or
9.
Hands.
Okay. Janice.
The guest, I give it 8. I think he did a great job. I would have liked to have seen him fight back a little bit when the animal was, you know, finding something wrong with what he was saying. I think that makes the show fun. I don't agree with, I think he's an early young baby recruiter, and not just because he's young, but I don't agree with everything he's saying about that. I think he's got a good future. He could, if he works hard, become a boy wonder someday.
I think
he's not.
So.
I give.
And not everybody can be a boy wonder.
No.
And the host. What's your score for Animal?
I think Animal did. I give him an 8 also. I think he did a good job.
Okay. And where is the boy wonder today?
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. You haven't talked at all.
Yeah, no, there was a whole lot of people there, so I just kind of stayed in the background. I'm not going to give a score because I was in and out of the conversation anyway, so I'm not going to give a score.
Based on what you heard.
Okay, then let's see. The guest was good. I believe he supported everything that he said. He wasn't on the fence on anything, so I give him an 8. And Animal gets an 8 too. He guided it very well. That's because of the whole entire interview.
Good show today. Okay,
Blake, are you
around?
No.
Blake, what's your
story? I'm going on, you guys. See you later.
All right, bye, Dennis.
Hey, Rayanne, before you go to the next one, who was Boy Wonder?
That's Jeremy Worthington, Janice's son.
Oh, okay. Hey, Jeremy.
Coach on Twitter.
Yeah, say it one more time. You blinked out a little bit.
Job search coach on Twitter.
Ooh, great handle.
I know. Thank you.
Blake.
I gave Ty an 8. I loved his information about his recruiting background, but Zuzu Hire, I'm actually checking it out right now. And I actually gave Animal an 8, too. He's 2 solid weeks in a row.
Good. Who else we have on here?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good show today, calm, cool, collected, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
I really like Zuzu Hire. Interesting product, very interesting. I was checking it out while he was talking, and I liked the guy who was speaking. So I give them both an 8, both Animal and him.
Perfect.
I would have really liked to see the breaking news back in place, and maybe we could talk to Animal about getting that.
Some breaking news. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Anybody else on the line? We're missing Jerry.
Yeah,
you know.
Carl's here.
Carl.
Yep.
What are your stories, Carlin?
Okay, I'll give Ticephus a 7.
Okay.
Interesting product. It'll be interesting to see how that does in the marketplace. I give Animal a 10.
Okay, wow. That's a pretty high score.
I know, but I really, you know, I haven't been here for months, and he was calmer than usual, but I really enjoyed his commercial segues. That's the first time I've heard him doing commercials, so it was a new thing for me, so it was intriguing and fun.
Kind of funny, huh?
Let's
see, anybody else here? No? Okay, I'm going to give my score. I'm going to give the guest a 7 as well. I don't know if everybody went to his LinkedIn page, but his blog, it looks like he's looking for permission marketing to even read his blog. So I was kind of disappointed with how his LinkedIn page is set up, and I didn't really get to address that. But and that has nothing to do with his presentation today, except that in order to prepare to listen to him, and to get as much information as possible, I wasn't able to really find out too much about him based on his LinkedIn profile. But I thought that my concern is, as being the founder, CEO of a company, he should have had a little more tech knowledge than he did. At least be ready with some answers.
Agreed.
Animal, I'm going to give Animal an 8 today. Did we miss anybody? All right. Anybody have any last parting?
I said, great job, Rianne.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Any parting news? Any parting shots across the bow before we sign off today?
Can we give the after show guest host a score? Is that are we eligible to do that? I give her a
sure.
nine.
Sure. Jerry's actually a little nervous right now. He's tweeting out, "I'm really nervous right now about Rayanne taking over the animal show after show. She hasn't been through the training." That's what he just tweeted. So.
I'd actually give Rayanne an 11, you know, because it's one more.
There you go.
It's one more. That's a perfect
I'll give her a mellifluous 11 as well. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Everybody have a great day.
Okay, you guys have a great week.
Alrighty.
All right.
Bye.
I just wrote a post for Animal saying boycott Animal's radio show until he stops criticizing job seekers.
Ooh.
But Animal says that his show is not about criticism, that it's about spiritual liberation.
It is.
Oh, please. It's you and your big fat ego screaming.
Everybody else is running around telling all these people how great they are and how they're a star and that there's greatness in everybody. Animal's just trying to tell people straight, hey, look, man, your profile sucks, your attitude sucks, straighten it out and let's get you on the right path. I don't think telling everybody that everything they do is perfect and great is helpful or beneficial in any way.
Animal, there are ways of you can redirect behavior without being cruel and preying on someone's flesh like a vulture.